Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, but no manipulation. No hidden agendas, nothing to sell you. This is simply a show that's informative. No dialogue, it's a monologue. It's simply me speaking to you every Sunday on this radio station. But this show is designed with one thing in mind, to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you can do that, then you have the freedom to orient and adjust to that plan. This show, The Flatline, is always about those unique problem-solving devices that are found in the Word of God. We have gone over them many times on this radio show, but the 10 unique problem-solving devices that are taught in the Bible, when you learn those 10 unique problem-solving devices and apply them into your life, then they form a flot line, a forward line of troops. And that flot line, that forward line of troops inside of your soul, it will stop the outside source of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. That's why we say so many times that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. You know, the problem is most of the adversity that we face is self-induced. We bring it on ourselves. We mismanage our personal lives, our personal finances, our personal relationships, even we mismanage our personal health. And the end result is that we suffer. And much of the suffering is indeed self-induced. And that's what's going on, I think, in our country today. As we take a look at the United States of America and what I talked about last week, I don't know if you heard me last week, but I talked last week about a national epidemic that is sweeping across America. From one end of the country to the other, this epidemic is sweeping. And you say, what are you talking about? What sort of medical epidemic is it? It's not a medical epidemic. It's something else. It's something that I've been seeing and something that I've been noticing now for quite some time. The national epidemic that I'm speaking about is the epidemic of lying. Lying is a national epidemic in America today. You know, let me start off with this, and maybe you'll see what I'm talking about. One of the things that we're beginning to witness in America today is a all-out effort to demonize Christians, to marginalize their effectiveness in society, and to stop them from having any kind of voice in the public arena. And that's why you see today, as in many places, anything that has to do with God, Jesus Christ, or the Bible, well, people throw just a conniption fit if you do it in a public arena. If you put a nativity scene in front of the state capitol, you're going to get sued. If you pray in the name of Jesus Christ or God at a national cemetery, you're going to get sued. I mean, all of this is going on all across America. And there is a real push by agnostic or atheistic people to marginalize or demonize Christians, even by using pejorative terms, calling them all sorts of weird names. And you know, this could be called a hate crime if it were anything else. If it were a Christian using pejorative terms towards another member of society that may have an alternative lifestyle, it'd be called a hate crime. It doesn't appear to be a hate crime when people use those sort of terms against Christians. You know, in my travels sometimes I will meet people that say they are atheist, and I'm always amazed at that statement, because an atheist is the biggest liar that there is. You say, what? An atheist is a liar? I mean, he's not lying. He really believes that. Well, I want to read to you what the Bible says. Who is the liar in 1 John 2:22? Who is the liar but he that denies that Jesus is a Christ? Did you hear it? Who is the liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now I want you to listen to another verse. This is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, And he that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave of his Son. What exactly, what kind of record did God give of his Son? In Luke 3:22, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I'm well pleased. And this audible voice happened when John the Baptist baptized Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And so, among other things, the atheist is a liar. Now, come on, let's just think about it just for a minute. For a person to be an atheist and to say there is no God, he must be a pretty smart fellow, or she must be a pretty smart lady. I mean, they have to go everywhere in the universe at one time and check it all out, because if they left out one planet, one asteroid, one meter, or meteor, I guess I should say, and God is there, then they're in trouble. And so in order to say that there is no God and to be defensible, then you have to be God yourself. You have to be able to defend that. And the only way you can defend that is to be God yourself, by going everywhere in the universe at one time and making sure God is not there, and then coming back and saying, there is no God. Well, that means you're God, because you did it all. You checked it out. You went everywhere. Actually, what the atheist does is exactly what the Christian does. The atheist, by faith, does not believe God exists. He can't prove it. He just doesn't believe it. And the Christian, by faith, believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible even clearly says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest someone would brag about it. You know, that's a very interesting statement. There is no God. Maybe the atheist would be more of an agnostic. I don't think there's a God, he may say. But if you could prove it to me, then I might believe it. Well, it's not my job, and it's not your job to prove it to anybody. Our job is just simply to lift up Christ. I mean, you can win argument after argument. You're still going to lose the war. Negative volition exists all across this planet, and negative volition exists inside client nation USA. There are people who do not like Christians. They do not like God. They do not like any reference to God or any reference to Jesus Christ. Recently, I was on a Facebook page and saw just the hostility that so many young people have in America today towards Christians. You know, it's amazing. But even Christians have hostilities, right? I mean, aren't there a few people that you just can't stand? Are you like most believers that I know that say, well, if I've got to spend eternity with them forever, don't let them crowd me too much right now? Actually, I've said that a few times myself. There are certain people that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't dislike them. I just don't want to hang out with them too much. But listen to what the Bible says. If a man says, I love God, and then he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how could he love God whom he has never seen? And so here's a good thing we need to learn. We are not allowed to have racial prejudice as a believer. We're not allowed to think we're better than other people, or we're better than them because of their skin color, whatever. No, absolutely forbidden in the Bible. If you say you love God and hate someone who's your brother, the Bible says you're a liar. So see, what have we got here? We've got liars that deny that Jesus is the Christ. We've got liars who say they love God and actually they hate their brothers. And we've got liars who don't believe the record that God gave of his Son. Where did all of this lying start? Last week, I gave you the background of where all the lying started. It all started with Satan, because he's the father of lies. Jesus, our Lord, made it clear in John 8:44 when he said, quoting now, When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ speaking about Satan, a.k.a. the old devil himself. And so we have lying, a national epidemic that is absorbing America even as we speak today. What is an epidemic? It's an outbreak. It affects many people at one time. And you know something? When we talk about lies, you can talk about white lies. You can talk about complex lies. And you can talk about the public lie. The public lie. Let me talk about the public lie just a minute. What exactly is the public lie? Well, the public lie is someone putting spin on something. It may be slander. It may be gossip. Do you know the difference between those two things? Slander is when you repeat a lie, and gossip is when you repeat the truth. And you're not allowed to repeat either one of them. According to the Bible, we're supposed to keep our nose out of other people's business and not talk about them. And so the public lie is this. If you tell it often enough, loud enough, and long enough, then people are going to believe it. They're going to say, well, it's true. I mean, I heard it on the radio. I saw some guy on TV say it. I read it in the newspaper. It must be true. And therefore, people who are slandered by the public lie are guilty until proven innocent. And even after being proven innocent, they still carry the scars of the accusations. Maybe that's happened to you. Maybe you have been the victim of a public lie. It's a horrible thing to bear. But it is one of the tests that we face in life. It is a test of adversity. It's a social test. And how did you handle it? Did you have the 10 unique problem-solving devices? Were you able to use impersonal love? Were you able not to hate that person that lied about you? Or did you seek revenge? Try to get even. Try to vindicate yourself and put the other person down. It's a total waste of time. Whenever someone lies about you in the public arena, all you have to do is turn it over to the Supreme Court of Heaven, which is open 24 hours a day. Your Heavenly Father is perfectly capable of dealing with the person who slanders and maligns and gossips about you. The Bible even says in Matthew 7 that it would be better for them not to be doing that because they're going to get under what the Bible calls triple compound discipline. That's right. When they start examining the little speck in your eye and the log is sticking out of their eye, well, they're going to get their discipline for their misbehavior. And if you've misbehaved, actually, the Bible says your discipline would be taken off of you and given to them because they judged you. That's right. The Bible says don't judge, because with what measure you measure, it'll be given back to you. And so sometimes the people that are your enemies, the people that lie about you and slander you, are going to get whacked by God because they didn't keep their nose out of your business. They were like that proboscis monkey in Africa, the one that has the 3 and 4 foot nose, and it's always getting in the way. Look it up. You'll see the proboscis monkey. People that have long noses get in trouble with God because they often lie. Whatever their agenda is, we have a nation full of liars. And here's the interesting thing about that. If it's a white lie, some people say, well, I was just being kind. I was just trying to give a compliment. Into the room she walks, and she's wearing the most, ooh, it looks horrible. That is the worst looking dress you've ever seen, with polka dots and stripes and zebra skins And she says, do you like my dress? How many husbands have done this? Honey, does this dress make me look fat? And obviously, you're going to tell a little white lie, aren't you? Why, no, dear. You look wonderful. What is that? Is that a lie, or is that just a maneuver? What is that? So we tell these little white lies from time to time, don't we? We give these little fake compliments. And then there are the complex lies. Oh, the politicians. Oh, the politicians that give these deceptive lies. The deceptive behavior. See, this is the problem. Lying is always about deception. Whether it's a white lie and you don't want that person to really know how you feel and what you're thinking because you don't want to face the wrath of that person, or whether it's a complex lie and you're trying to cover up how you mismanage somebody's money or how you're lying to someone. Politicians lie quite often. Sometimes the lie comes from a pastor who doesn't accurately teach the Word of God. Sometimes the lie can come from the police officer or even from a parent. But liars generally lie because they're craving respect. They're craving influence and wealth. And they will embellish their self. It's called self-deception. And here's the bad thing about it. When you lie and believe the lie yourself. See, arrogance always is self-justification. And then self-deception. And so when you arrogantly accuse someone of something, there's always, if you point a finger at someone, put this picture in your mind. If you point a finger at someone, there's generally three fingers pointing back at you. Go ahead, try it. Raise that right hand and point that finger at someone and see if there aren't three fingers pointing back at you. You know, God had something to say about this in Hosea chapter 4, as there was a national indictment on Israel. The northern kingdom was about to be destroyed under the Assyrian captivity around 722 B.C. because of the indictment of God. And I would like for you to know that I think America is very close to being indicted by God. As a matter of fact, you'll see some of the same things in America that we can see right here. And we know that God is immutable. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he did not tolerate it here with his own people, why would he tolerate it with us? Listen to the condemnation that Hosea the prophet brought. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge." There's the indictment. He brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. The indictment was this: there's no truth, no mercy, and no knowledge of God in the land. And the result was unrestrained criminality by swearing. It's an interesting word here. Allah, A-L-A-H. This is the misuse of the Lord's name in taking an oath or in using his name in a curse. The Bible clearly says, as I quoted last week, Exodus 20, verse 7, "Never use the name of the Lord your God carelessly. The Lord will make sure that anyone who carelessly uses his name will be punished." That is a translation out of the Bible called God's Word Translation. That's not your standard King James Version. That's the God's Word Translation. But I think it makes it very clear. Listen again. "Never use the name of your Lord God, of the Lord your God, carelessly. The Lord will make sure that anyone who carelessly uses his name will be punished." So one of the indications of unrestrained criminality in the land is swearing. And then lying. That's the second. Lying. The Hebrew word for lying is kakash. Kakash, and it means to deceive. Deceive. This is one of the reasons for divine discipline in Israel, and one of the reasons that this country was taken out, taken into captivity by the Assyrians, swearing and lying. And again, as I told you, the motivation for all lying is deception. It's an arrogant pattern. The arrogant person seeks to deceive. Why is that? Well, either the arrogant person, through his lie, is trying to manipulate you through his deception, trying to persuade you and manipulate you to do something through his perception. You know, I've seen and you've seen in the Ponzi scheme of America today, I have wonderful friends who've been taken to the cleaners by people like this. They were lied to. They were told, if you invest with me, I will do this for you. And they invested. And they lost it all. They trusted a liar. The deception was the motivation. The greed and the lust for money was the arrogance. Arrogance always justifies why it's okay to lie to people. It is never okay to lie to people. Never okay to lie to anyone. The believer is never allowed to lie. Not even the little white lie sometimes. In John 8:44, again, I told you, Jesus said that Satan is the father of all lies. I even told you last week that his lies include a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit communion table, and even a counterfeit spirituality. And all of this is his deceptive actions to destroy you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That means remain calm. Be vigilant. That means stay on your guard. Because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks around seeking who he can consume. You know what Satan would like to do with you? He would like to consume you. Have you for dinner. That doesn't sound too appetizing, does it? To have you for dinner. He might even get indigestion. Now, you're right. You're exactly right. And there's some other things I could say about that, but I won't. But this is the objective of Satan, to deceive you. His motivation is to defeat you through deceiving you, through deception. He doesn't want people to be saved, and so he's going to send out that counterfeit gospel that you can be saved by observing the law, that you can be saved by being good and being nice and being kind. After all, God likes kind people and nice people, right? Well, the Bible says there are none that are righteous. No, not even one. The Bible goes on to say that all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. But the clearest verse of all is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, where Paul wrote this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. If you could go to heaven because of your production, we would have to listen to you crow for all eternity. We'd have to listen to you say, the reason that I'm in heaven is I never missed Sunday school for 62 years. Well, rah, rah for you. You even got the pen. That doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. You see, there's only one way to heaven, and this is what makes people so mad. This is what offends people so much. It's only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He said it plainly when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. Through me, man goes in and finds green pasture. It is only through Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, that we have eternal life. And so Satan throws the counterfeit out. And after all, these people are such nice, caring people. They're good neighbors. They're great in the community, and that may be so. It's not your place to judge their faith. I just tell you what the Bible says. Satan seeks to deceive. In 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says, the God of this world can blind the mind of the unbeliever. Lies. Lying. A national epidemic of lying all across America. And lying to self is one of the worst. One of the worst. There are seven sins that God says he hates in the Bible. I don't know if you've ever read them, but there's a movie made about something like this, and it was completely erroneous. It's not even what the Bible says. But in Proverbs 6:16 through 19, you can read it for yourself. And lying is mentioned twice. Two sins of the tongue. A lying tongue, verse 17, Proverbs 6, and a false witness that speaks lies, verse 19, Proverbs 6. Deceit, trickery, hypocrisy, duplicity, all deception. You know, this is very interesting. Watch it. Watch what's happening in our country. Lying to self is one of the worst things. Not being a doer of the word, but just being a hearer of the word. I went to school. I went to church. I heard the preacher, but you never applied what you heard. Never once did you apply what you heard. Isn't that interesting? Lying. Have you lied today? Have you been part of a lying scheme? Because a liar delights in his lies. In Proverbs 18:2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Because, why? Lying is a way of life to him. He's a liar. And he lies so much that his lie becomes the truth. He lives by his lies. The wonderful thing about the Word of God. When you become a Christian, when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. You have the privilege of having a new life in Christ. And as you learn the Word of God, as you apply the Word of God into your life, it will force out lies. You will stop lying. But you know, when lies come from government, the nation is done for. Political liars believe they're doing what's best because they see their lies as righteous. These poor constituents out there, they don't know what's best for them. And if I really told them the truth, they couldn't handle it. So I'll just give them a little lie. You see, that's what a self-indulgent politician does. He requires a lie to operate behind the scenes. Here's a principle I want you to remember. No policy is correct if it requires lies and deception. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. This show is designed to give you that wisdom and that understanding. I trust as you listen to the Word of God, it is a mirror that reflects what's in your own soul. Because it sure reflects what's in America today. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.